Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church. It's a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. Today is Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. This is edition number 25. We're going to continue looking at the subject that I mentioned yesterday, the subject that Jesus brings up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. But let's pray first, and then we'll look at some practical ways in which we can understand even further the words of the Savior here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your kindness and grace, and we pray that you would help us. Even this morning, as we consider your word, you, by your Spirit, would give us grace and strength and help and mercy and kindness. We pray, Lord, that you would cleanse out of us deceitful hearts, and that you would cause us to have hearts that are pure before you. We know that your word, it's able to discern the very thoughts of men, that it that the hearts of men are always open before you. And so, Father, forgive us and help us. Be with your people and strengthen them this morning. And be with us now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, again, we are in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. The words there, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." Now, obviously, the subject here is the seventh commandments, the subject of adultery. And yesterday, we fleshed out some of what that means, since as we sought to exposit or explain further the summary statement given in Exodus 20:14. Today, I want to use Sinclair Ferguson's fine little book on this subject, as he offers ways in which we can keep our ways pure, our way pure before the Lord. Because remember, this is fundamentally a heart issue, as all sins are. And he writes here in page 89 of his book, "How then can we keep our way pure?" Jesus' vivid illustrations suggest a number of important general principles that we can employ. First, he says, realize where yielding to sinful lusts will lead you. Now, I mentioned yesterday that to yield to these things will lead to death. No man wakes up in the morning and decides to have an affair or commit adultery. It begins very slowly in the heart, and it begins to grow. It starts with a look and imaginations, and it works its way to ultimate action. Sin is deceptive, and it will lead you in the wrong area. So realize, as Ferguson says here, realize where yielding to sinful lusts will lead you. Jesus says that hell is the direction in which all sin leads. Fix that in your mind. Consider the consequences. Number two, he says, deal with the real cause of your sin. If it is the right eye that causes you to sin, says Jesus, gouge it out. Could we substitute something else? No, says Jesus. Now, as Ferguson goes on to say, he says that most of us know what he means by this. We offer God substitutes. If we can hold on to our favorite lust, we are prepared to sacrifice other things. We will do more Bible reading and attend times of prayer, give more sacrificially. We may even be prepared to give far more to the Lord's work. Anything except give up our right eye. But failure to gouge it out cannot be remedied by substitute offerings of obedience and sacrifice. How many people today are sitting in pews in churches that are engaged in this sin of the heart and seeking to overcome it by other means instead of rooting it out at the heart level? And that's the point Jesus is making here. The serious nature of this issue requires serious surgery of the heart. He goes on, number three, act decisively, immediately, even if it must be painful. Jesus gives a horrific description of what other New Testament writers call mortification of sin, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. That is the lifelong practice of the Christian. Martin Luther, in his first theses, the famous 95 Theses, said that the Christian life is a life of repentance. It may not be this sin, but it may be some other sin that you're dealing with. It is like gouging out your eye or cutting off a limb. There will be pain, tears, and blood. It's spiritual warfare. Every warfare has casualties, has injuries. There will be withdrawal symptoms after the amputation. The consequences seem almost unbearable. But the drastic nature of the remedy is simply the index of the radical danger of the sin. And so when you compare the remedy, as Jesus puts it here, over against the consequence of the sin, they're so radical on both points that it heightens the severity of the issue tremendously. It's not a matter of negotiation, Ferguson says. We don't negotiate with sin. We kill it. We deal with it. We repent of it. Fourth, he says, realize especially that your lust is not the whole of your life and weigh against it its influence, all that will be yours by abandoning it. It is better to lose your eye and keep your body than to lose all in hell, Jesus states. And so it's very important here, as you consider those four areas, that the remedy is severe because the consequence is that severe. And so as we, again, think more deeply about the words of Christ here, and as we go about our day and we seek to live to the glory of God, we have to ask ourselves, are there any lusts in our heart? Any lusts for another person, men for a woman for a man, but it may be for other things that are ungodly. Know ultimately it's a heart issue. Know ultimately that the consequence of those things lead to death. Know that the remedy for it is mortification, is putting to death the deeds of the flesh. It requires heart surgery. It requires a heart open before God, willing to deal honestly with it. God is a God of great love and compassion for you, and He will heal you, He will forgive you, and He will help you as the Spirit gives you the ability, and as the fruits of grace are born in your heart. And so we must all commit to these kinds of things and understand the depths of the matter, that we might not sin against God and end in a terrible consequence, as Jesus here presents it. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. And if you would like to contact me, you can do so. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until Wednesday, when we begin then looking at this matter of divorce as taken up by Jesus in Matthew 5, 31 through 32, I trust the Lord will bless you and keep you. He'll make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, that He might lift up His countenance upon you and give you grace. May you serve Him well this day.